We've all had an experience of something breaking, tearing, or wearing out unexpectedly. In the moment of failure, we usually stop and look around for a quick solution in order to limp by until a more permanent solution can be found. Hopefully your quick fix didn't look something like these interesting do-it-yourself projects. Some of those DIY attempts looked pretty dangerous. In today's parable, we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about fasting, patching, and wineskins. Since I'm a kids pastor who tries to include children as much as possible while teaching, I've asked Kinsey to read our scripture passage for us today. She'll be reading from Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22.
Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so as long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth to an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wine skins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, but the wine and the wine skins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wine skins."
Like many answers Jesus gave when queried by religious leaders, his response to their question seemed perplexing and initially unrelated. Let's take a look at each of those dialogue parts individually to see what we can figure out. Verse 18, "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, 'How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?'" Fasting means to abstain from something. Most often a fast is intentionally not eating food for a period of time, but we can fast from other things, such as a technology fast. Last week, Pastor Craig explained a little bit about fasting. The only biblically prescribed fast was on the Day of Atonement, which we can read about in Leviticus chapter 16. And Pharisees typically fasted twice a week, and that's found in Luke 18. The Jewish people sometimes fasted as a result of personal loss, as an expression of repentance, or in conjunction with prayer. Nowadays, Christians fast for similar reasons. John's disciples may have been fasting to follow his minimalistic lifestyle as a response to John's emphasis on repentance, or maybe because John was in prison or had just been killed. We don't really know. What we do know is that fasting was a normal practice and therefore expected at times. In verses 19 and 20, Jesus answered, "How can the guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day they will fast." Here Jesus is referring to a wedding. An important part of a wedding ceremony is a wedding celebration is the reception that follows the ceremony. Some receptions have light snacks and a wedding cake only, whereas others feature a full sit-down meal catered by professionals and served by waitstaff. We don't fast at weddings, and to not eat would seem quite strange. So Jesus' counter-question here and this part of his response is a logical and understandable answer. There are times and places where fasting isn't appropriate. Now I know there's much more hinted at with the wedding metaphor here, but that's a subject for another sermon another day. In verse 21, it's where the conversation veers into a different direction and the relevance becomes less clear. "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will tear away from the old, making the tear worse." Now, any seamstress will tell you that it's important to pre-wash fabric before making something with it, especially fabric made from natural fibers, because there's a high probability of shrinkage and the amount of shrinkage is unknown. So mixing old and new, or even different types of fabric, can result in misshapen, ill-fitting, or easily torn clothing after the garments are washed. wrong fixes are destined to fail. Most of us don't make our own clothes anymore or even mend them, so let's broaden this illustration a bit. What needs patched in your life? Do you have challenges or obstacles you're trying to overcome? There are some pretty poor ways, poor patches, that get used in an attempt to fix our problems. Here are a few common ones. Alcohol is used to dull pain, or lower inhibitions, or to give us courage. Food is used for comfort. Binge watching shows is a way to escape. New relationships are used because we want to feel loved. Activities that produce an adrenaline rush are so we can feel alive. And needing the next new thing is to help us feel important. Subconsciously, you might think a new romantic partner would make your life perfect or that you deserve an extra glass of wine to help you relax after an extra stressful day. You might think that you'll be more popular if you wear the latest fashion or purchase the latest tech. An insecurity patch that catches me more often than I prefer to admit is the more likes I get on social media means the more people like me. I'm seeking validation. We try different things and we tell ourselves these lies because we want a quick, painless fix. When we have holes, and we all have holes, we instinctually try to fill them, patch them, or hide them. That is a God-given instinct for self-preservation. The desire itself isn't wrong, but usually the solutions we try are. Even the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, wasn't able to fill the void that he was trying to satisfy. In Ecclesiastes 1, he writes, "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher, "utter meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." So what is the right way to patch our holes? The Sunday school answer kids like to give is trust Jesus, right? Yes, we need Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit, but our problems are rarely fixed overnight or without intentional work on our parts. We have to roll up our sleeves and do the mending work through things like Alcoholics Anonymous, counseling, implementation of the godly advice we've been given, and most importantly, practicing spiritual disciplines such as Bible study, prayer, and even fasting. These are the appropriate patches that help mend our broken places. By telling us not to patch an old garment with new cloth, Jesus was introducing the idea of new things. He was not saying that we shouldn't fix what's broken. Some things need to be and should be fixed. There's value in mending because mending honors the broken. The Japanese have developed the art of repair called kintsugi. In this process, broken pieces of pottery are put back together with obvious seams made from gold, silver, or other precious metals. Kintsugi celebrates the beauty in the flaws, and the mend itself is beautiful. Here are a few examples. What else is honored when it's mended? We fix things that have personal significance. We restore and preserve things that we're fond of, that evoke memories of another time. For example, classic cars or historic buildings. Before we moved to BC, Donovan and I had rehabbed and flipped an old home to help pay for our oldest son's first year of university. Later, we purchased a fully restored home to live in that was built around 1900. We don't know exactly when it was completed, but there's evidence that it was over 115 years old when we purchased it. Donovan's brother has purchased and restored 5 or 6 old houses for his family to live in, and the Funk family loves these old homes because of their history and craftsmanship, or at least their good bones. Things with cultural significance are often mended. An example of this would be a famous piece of artwork. It's a no-brainer to repair a Rembrandt or a Manet if those paintings have a tear in them. We also mend relationships. People are so much more valuable than things are. And since this is true, we mend wounded friendships. We work to rebuild business partnerships, and we seek to reconcile with those that we've hurt. Mending honors the broken. Now let's move on to verse 22. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Since the process of winemaking is different today than in pre-industrial times, you might not know what a wineskin looks like. Here's a photo of one. Before searching the internet for a photo, I had never seen such a large wineskin before. I've seen drawings or photos of small personal-sized ones, but it makes much more sense to have a large one so that wine can be stored in bulk. Now, as grape juice ferments and turns into wine, gases form which push outward and increase with increasing pressure. And the container that the fresh juice is put into needs to be strong, yet flexible enough to withstand expansion. Traditionally, wineskins are made from sheep or goat hide. Like any good kids pastor, I have an object lesson for you. Let's pretend that this vinegar in here is grape juice, and inside the balloon is some baking soda that will demonstrate the fermentation process. Watch what happens. Unlike balloons, which can be blown up multiple times, animal hides used in winemaking can only be stretched one time. Refilling the hide with new juice ready to ferment will cause it to break. When Jesus used the example of wineskins, he was saying that some things cannot accept new, therefore we shouldn't use them anymore. I definitely won't be using this balloon and bottle filled with smelly vinegar again. I'm not particularly fond of the odor of dyed Easter eggs. Old and new aren't compatible. If I was teaching in kids' worship right now, at this point, I'd invite kids to share some examples of things that they only used once, things that are no longer useful or beyond repair. Now, obviously, if you shouted out some examples, I wouldn't be able to hear you. So a few examples that come to my mind are historical ruins, such as the Colosseum in Rome, obsolete technology like a rotary phone that you actually had to dial, or an abusive relationship that caused harm to you physically or mentally. We don't necessarily need to discard the old. Some serve as a reminder of what once was. But we should remember that the old has served its purpose and it's time to move on. Now, let's go back and review what we've discussed so far to see if it makes any more sense now. First, there are time and a place for fasting. And next, we looked at fabric shrinks and wineskin stretch. Patching one can work, but not on the other. What they both have in common is that neither can accept the new. Though Jesus used patches and wineskins as illustrations, the point of the parable was that a new thing has come and is coming, and the old methods would no longer function as they had before. What the people didn't yet know was that Jesus had come to establish his church, and the church wouldn't conform to the old customs, rituals, or mindset. It would no longer be us Jews versus those Gentiles. Christ's kingdom is for everyone, and Christ welcomes all. In his commentary on the book of Mark, J.A. Brooks says this: "The twin parables here teach the incompatibility of the old, social Judaism, and the new, Christianity. Judaism is the old garment and the old wineskin. Christianity is the new garment, the new wineskin, and the new wine. The point is not that the old itself is wrong or evil, but that its time has passed." At the end of each kid's lesson, the big idea is revealed. So what is our big idea today? Repair what needs fixed, let go of the old, and then lean into the new. I trust that Jesus wants to bring something new to your life. Maybe it's a new perspective or a new calling, a new outlook, and definitely a new and deeper relationship with him. In order for that to happen, you might need to get some broken things fixed, and you may need to let go of an idea or a relationship that is holding you back. So this week, I challenge you to look at things in your life, obstacles, challenges, relationships, and ask yourself if those are stopping you from leaning into the new God has for you. If so, roll up your sleeves and start mending, or let them go. Repair what needs fixed, let go of the old, and then lean into the new. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your parables that teach us about ourselves and that teaches us about your kingdom. We have preconceived ideas of what is right because it's history or tradition or just what we've been taught. But you are inviting us to think about things differently. Think about what needs fixed in our own lives, what things are hindering us because we won't let go, and you will invite us into the new that you have for us, the better things that will help us to flourish and grow. And so, Lord, I just ask that you will help us to do that, to look at our lives and see what's there that needs you to come in and help us to move forward. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.